is CBS Eye on the World. Here's John Batchelor.
The New World Report. I welcome Professor Evan Ellis of the U.S. Army War College. He is the Latin American Research Professor, also at the Strategic Studies Institute, to comment on a grand meeting within these last hours in Buenos Aires, the capital of Argentina. The headline in Reuters, Latin America, Caribbean, call for more international funding at CELAC Summit, C-E-L-A-C. The lead line, countries from Latin America and the Caribbean called for more international funding in the region following economic and climate crises in a final declaration after a summit held in Buenos Aires. Professor, a very good day to you. Thank you. CELAC, this is an organization I first met with you in 2022 when the meeting was in Mexico City. Now it's in the beautiful capital of Buenos Aires. They issued afterwards an 111-point declaration of Buenos Aires for CELAC, standing for the Community of Latin America and Caribbean States. Before we go to the declaration, CELAC, what is its place right now in the new world? What status does it hold, and how did we get to CELAC from something that I've been reading about at the turn of the 19th to the 20th century, the Organization of American States? Good evening to you, Professor.
Good evening to you, John. Well, of course, you had a Pan-American system, an inter-American system with many well-established institutions going back to the turn of the last century, the Organization of American States. However, CELAC was created by those on the populist left, especially Hugo Chavez in 2011, basically as an alternative in which Latin American and Caribbean states could meet and work together without, frankly, the U.S. and Canada at the table, but with everyone else at the table. It had as a rotating secretariat, and so you have each year there's a different party as president. So it was in Mexico last year when Mexico had the presidency with AMLO. This year it's in Buenos Aires because Argentina has the presidency, and of course next year it is going to be in St. Vincent's when that country will have the presidency. Especially with the turn to the left of governments across Latin America, really the nature of the challenge that the U.S. faces in multilateral diplomacy, and really the strengthening of CELAC as at least a forum for putting out a left agenda has becoming increasingly pronounced. Having said that, it is notable that the CELAC, number one, does not have a permanent secretariat, and so its ability to really coordinate and work things to go beyond the rhetoric is limited. Number two, it has no real funding, although together the CELAC economies account for about a $7 trillion together, about a third of the world's economy, the third largest economy in the world. CELAC really doesn't have any one state or external states to finance it. Also notable that one external state that's played an increasing interest in CELAC has been China. And so China has an event with CELAC at the leadership level every 3 years, when to put forth a China CELAC plan. This year, even though it wasn't the China CELAC summit specifically, Xi Jinping was notable for giving an address to CELAC, talking about his relationship with the organization. And you have a number of different China CELAC committees, including the China CELAC Defense Committee. But as you pointed out, this was the annual gathering of the CELAC heads, although notable for a number of who were not there. Guillermo Lasso from Ecuador is not there. AMLO was not there. Ortega was not there. Dina Boluarte in Peru with her problems were not there. But those who were there really put forth a leftist agenda, talking about the need for more money for a range of different different programs, and really kind of indicating where the region is at right now. As you pointed out, the 111-point declaration, that is so very Latin American. Nothing worth saying in five clear points that you can't say in 111. But very important organizations, I think, with the state of Latin American politics, will continue to see playing a very important role.
The Reuters coverage summarizes the 111 points, saying that the summit is seeking additional or new funding for the demands of recovery from COVID-19, from climate change, from war in Ukraine. All those major themes are also true in Europe and in Asia. But I want to get to understanding how CELAC functions. My experience now over 2 years with you, Professor, is that CELAC is notable in that each time it meets, we talk about who's there and who's not there, who was to attend and who was not to attend. And that is a way of having a conversation about the whole region. So let's attend to who did attend and why this. What is the significance? Lula da Silva, just elected president and just inaugurated president of Brazil. Does Brazil enjoy a large influence at CELAC because of its size, because of its economy? Does Lula enjoy a welcome because this is a rerun of his earlier presidencies in the before CELAC was founded in the 21st century?
Well, John, by contrast to the Organization of American States and the Inter-American System, CELAC really doesn't have a permanent bureaucracy. So it's difficult to talk about influence within the organization. The influence really is a reflection at any one moment of what the flavor and temperature of the region is. And so certainly it was important that Lula was there this year because under Jair Bolsonaro, Brazil had not participated. And so with Lula, it was back because the expectations of Lula playing a key role, perhaps a more democratic role than, for example, Nicolas Maduro in the collective Latin American left. Again, important and looking to what Lula did or was trying to do. And certainly also, if anybody has any funding for CELAC initiatives, Brazil, which accounts for half of the economy of South America, will play a key role. But certainly, as symbolic of Brazil's role in the Latin American left, it was very important that that Lula played an anchor. And certainly some of the things that Brazil talked about in terms of broader sub-regional initiatives, a common currency forum, which was probably just aspirational with Argentina, et cetera. Some of those initiatives, again, were important, particularly because it was Brazil saying it and Brazil saying it there in Buenos Aires.
Who didn't attend is also news. And significantly, Nicolas Maduro did not attend. The Reuters have reported he sent a recorded message saying he had chosen not to attend due to, and this is a quote, permanent conspiracies, the permanent threat, calculated ambushes. End quote. I also read in the news that Mr. Maduro was scheduled to meet with Lula da Silva, which I regarded as a significant decision by Brasilia. That did not happen. So Maduro, this doesn't look like an unfriendly room. So why does he hesitate to travel? He, as I recall, travel is not a major concern of his. He has gone overseas in the time of his presidency and now in the time of his strongman leadership.
Well, I love that reference to permanent conspiracies. If they're permanent, we'll see if he stays away, which I doubt is not going to be the case. But in the particular case of Argentina, where you have a relatively independent judiciary and where you had prominent opposition figures like Patricia Bullrich, who was actually calling for the Argentina judicial system to arrest Maduro if he showed up based on credible international judicial actions against him. So I think Maduro was not completely certain that some independent Argentine judge would not put out an order which would cause at least his temporary detention. So I think it was really that concern about the Argentine judicial system that kept him away and led him to that rhetoric. But as you point out, he is absolutely welcome among certain circles. Lula is talking about reestablishing relations. Of course, we've already had Gustavo Petro in Colombia, who was a key participant, although not heard about quite as much. Talking about, of course, the reopening of the frontier, new investment protection agreements. You have others, certainly Alberto Fernandez, the host this year, also playing a key role in bringing Maduro back into the fold. And so, absolutely, it was a technical question about the Argentine judicial system that kept him away and led indirectly thus to the planned meeting with Lula, which would have also been highly important and symbolic not happening.
Taking an opportunity to speak of Venezuela, there is a report that workers we associate with government unions, teachers, firemen, have been protesting in various Venezuela cities asking for a raise. If I understand the news correctly, they're paid now so low, it's essentially $6 a month in a country that is now enjoying inflation of more than 200%. It was more than 300%. What was striking to me is that the protests take place in the streets and they're against the strongman government and there's no brutality towards them. Is that explicable in terms of what we understand Venezuela to be right now, which is a failed state? It allows union protests?
Well, exactly, John. There are essentially somewhat permitted protests and there are unpermitted protests. And so, for example, the new Venezuelan opposition, which has basically been declared illegal with arrest warrants put out for them, those are the unpermitted protests or anything that would call for the resignation of Maduro or against the government. However, again, in this case, these are essentially government workers who are not protesting against the legitimacy of the Maduro regime, but just for more money. Because essentially what happened is that as government workers, they were often people who did not have access to dollars. And in Venezuela, especially in previous years, if you didn't have access to dollars, you had, you know, over 10,000% inflation. In 2021, it had gotten down to a meager level of only 700%. And in this past year, it got down to a meager level of only about 300%. But previously, you earning in bolivars, it was just worthless. That's why really the people who've been able to make ends meet in Venezuela are those who get remittances in dollars from outside or who go work in Colombia and earn in Colombian pesos and send money back or frankly the narco criminal economy. So if you're earning in gold or drug dollars, you know, that's another way to make ends meet. And Maduro really, by allowing the dollarization of the economy, had kind of kept that spigot open. But at the end of the day, if you are just a lowly government worker, a teacher, etc., and don't have access to a stream of dollars in one way or another, you are in desperate straits. And so that's really what those protests were about. But because they were not anti-regime protests, that's the type of kind of symbolic, we'll let them say their piece.
And finally, in attendance at CELAC meeting representing the United States was former Senator Chris Dodd, who I believe is a fluent Spanish speaker. What is the U.S.'s status as an observer? I understand you've told me it can't vote. Does it have the same weight in the meeting as you mentioned China comes now and again?
John, back in the day, my grandfather used to have an expression, children are to be seen but not heard. And I thought of that as I thought of Chris Dodd and the U.S. presence. Certainly the U.S. did not have a speaking role, and it certainly did not have the same role that Xi Jinping had when he was put up on the big 20-foot screen to address the meeting. Because CELAC was explicitly created to converge without the U.S. having a role in the text of the discourse, I think it was a reflection of the pragmatism of the Biden administration and the way that we agreed to play it, that you had a U.S. delegation, again, seen but not heard, at least welcome to poke around certain circles, but certainly not any role to influence the outcome of debates other than maybe some coffee table conversations at the margins.
I'm speaking with Professor Evan Ellis, the U.S. Army War College Strategic Studies Institute's Latin American research professor. We turn to the sounds of protests in Lima, Peru, and elsewhere. This is the New World Report. I'm John Batchelor.